Yes. Well, I left a lady that this morning that turned out to be a prophetess. By that I mean she told me weather's supposed to be bad. I don't know that I want to try to get up and go down there. Besides that, you get down there, I just have to listen to you again. I never learn, seems like. I have actually witnessed this that I'm fixing to tell you right here at this church, and it hadn't been all too many years ago. Brother Sonny had told me I was going to be asked to come forward and everything, and about the time we started, Elder Bill Walden come walking in that door and sit down back there. I'm not as smart as Brother Bill. I should have waited to get here a little after 11. And, then I could have done that. I stand in need of your prayers all the time. But since I have been here with some of the songs that were selected and this wonderful prayer, my mind has left what I thought as I drove down the highway, if called upon, I would have to try to speak about. It's nothing new. And if it is, don't have it. Right? But it has been impressed upon me once again with not only my fond memories of you folks here and the precious blessings that I feel that God has blessed me with now for many years, to be able to fellowship with you, his saints, to be blessed to feel his presence with us, not only in our times of rejoicing, but especially in our times of trials and troubles. And I feel that that is the time that rather than having a pity party about us and our things that come upon us, to once again remember to thank the great God of heaven and look to him. I would like to read some scripture as a beginning in the writings in the 5th chapter of 1 John. The thing that has been on my mind more and more lately, it is that how many people in the world today think or seem to lose sight of the ongoing, continuing work of the Almighty God. He is not a was. He's not even an is. He is also a will be. He is continuous. When he told Moses, and we have recorded this in the Old Testament, when Moses asked him, "Who shall I say that your name is?" He said, "I am." You know, it took me years to figure that out. This is a true story. As a child, when I would hear Elder Jasper Chambers quote that, I would think he was saying, "I am," and that happened to be my dad's name, I am. And I thought, he'd say the great I am, and I thought, he don't know my dad like I do. But God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thanks be unto him that he blesses us to realize that and to hold on to that truth and that fact. in the fifth chapter of 1 John, I want to look at, again, very familiar scriptures, the 7th and 8th verse, and then I'll drop down and read one other because it gives us what that the record that we hear about in the 7th verse. The Apostle John says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I have, in my lifetime, had many ask me to explain to them the three in one. How can those things be? I wished I could explain it to my satisfaction and probably your satisfaction. But the best that I can explain it is that God Himself told and showed the Apostle John these very facts. So I'm going to take that testimony. He is one, yet He's three in person, all right? And, here's my second point, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. They are not one, but they agree in one. And if not deceived, I believe that those three agree in each of you here today. That is the witness that God has provided us that we might rejoice even in the troubles, trials, and tribulations that we suffer while we live in this world and walk our steps in our natural life. What is the record? The record is what the three in one have borne. And the witness in the earth bear the same witness of that record. Right? They are witness to the record here in the earth, just like the three in one bear that record in heaven. And verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. What better record can the Trinity bear than that to us? And this life is in His Son. That makes it sure. You know, I can tell you something, and if it is not made extremely positively sure without a doubt, it doesn't do us as much good here, even when we hear the witness of that. That's the problem with these folks that think you gotta persevere. They cannot enjoy the fullness of that witness and the knowledge of that record. I'll tell you, there was one that did persevere, that walked this earth, the man Christ Jesus. And because He persevered in what He came to do as the only begotten Son of God, you and I can rest assured that all is well. All is well. I've often thought of all of the things that God has blessed us to have to know and to have some understanding about while we live in this world and face all of these troubles, trials, and tribulations. He has given us example after example. I don't know if I could have been as the one in the Old Testament recorded when he was placed in the den of lions. And those lions just weren't freshly fed. They were hungry. And yet when he was cast in there, he went in there, I trust, believing that the God of heaven was able and would protect him. And he did. About the three that were cast into the fiery furnace. The fire was so hot that it killed those that actually put them in there. Yet they walked in there. And one said, did we not cast in three? Lo, I see a fourth. And he's likened to the Son of God. He's likened unto the man Christ Jesus. He's likened to the Word as is spoken of here that bears this record. He walked with them, and when they came out, they did not even have the smell of fire upon their garments. It is that blessing that you and I have because that we are preserved. We're not persevering all the time. I don't know about you. I confess I don't persevere as I should. But I want you to know, even though I don't persevere because he persevered, I am preserved and you are preserved in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back and I want to go to the gospel according to John. I don't want to go to the very first verse. The thing that's kind of been on my mind of late is how that God is not a was. God is not just an is. But God is continuing to work. We have the record in the Old Testament that the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ, some, if I remember correctly, kind of in the historic thing, something about 600 or 700 years before what I'm fixing to read to you actually happened. And you know, the Bible tells us that if one claims to be a prophet, let him prove it by that he prophesies of coming true. I can say Isaiah was a God-called prophet because what he prophesied did come true. All right? And the prophet Isaiah said that he would come, and he did. And we find this recorded in the time while he had come here in this world. You and I were not blessed to see that with our natural eyes, but I trust that by faith we can see him completing that he came to do just as well as those that walked with him in that day and time. All right. In the beginning was the Word. Remember my 1 John chapter 5. There's three that bear record. This is one of those three. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Isaiah said he's coming. The Apostle John prophesied of the record, told of the record. The Apostle John told us what the record was. That our life, the eternal life we've been given, is in him. In him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, that's about the only way I can ever explain the Trinity. I finally just go back to Scripture. In fact, the Bible says let Scripture interpret Scripture. Right? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He wasn't left out. The second in the Trinity was not left out of anything. He is part of everything because why? He is God. in him was life. Now that's a was. When he got here, that life was in him. He didn't come here and get life. You and I get life sometime between conception and death if we be of the elect. The man Christ Jesus came as God. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul writing there said this, "A body hast thou prepared me. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." That's what he came in the likeness of sinful flesh for. It was a necessity that he come to where we are and to do what had to be done so that on the morning of the resurrection, on the last day, we can go to be where he is. In him was life, and the life, not a life, the life. Which life? The life that was in him. The life that was in him before he was ever even conceived in Mary's womb. This life was in him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the Gospels, we read about the light. He says he is the light. And he tells us, you and I, we are to walk in the light. How can we walk in the light if we don't walk in him, if he is the light? That's an impossibility. The lights are on in this house. If you want to be in the light that's on in this house, you must be in this house. You say, well, that's kind of stupid. Well, I'm a kind of stupid person. I have to think on these things some, all right? Think about it. You know. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Do you know that light that is in the life of the man Christ Jesus has its source not within the created world? I thought that's where I was going to probably talk about back in the very first verse, the first book of Genesis, right? God created this world. When he created this world, you go read the first verse, and you'll find out what shape this world was in when God created it. It was without form and void. You know, that's not what we see out here now. The world you and I see is not without form, and it's not void. But when God spoke this heaven and earth, that's the heaven that you and I see here, that's where all the stars, the moon, the sun, and planets, that's where they are, right? When God spoke that into existence, it was not like it is now. God continued to, pardon my use of this word, make its usefulness not only for us, but to his honor and glory. Without form. It wasn't just like this, it is now. And void. I looked that word up again, went back to its original. You know, sometimes, and by the way, once I got there, I realized that wasn't the first time I'd done that. But, you know, my mind's leaving me, all right? I can't remember all these things. when I looked it up, I found out what void meant. Void said useless. Not worth anything. You and I couldn't, it was useless for us. God in his purpose knew that some, created man in the sixth day. That was the first day. So some 5 days later, God knew he was going to create man and woman. Right? But the world that he had just spoken to existence was useless for them. It would not have supported us as it does now. You see, that is living proof to me that God not only worked, but he kept working, he kept working, he kept working, and he's still working because this world is still now not void. But it is sustaining us in that he has created and formed us for. Amen? That's the reason I believe that when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why? Because he's going to keep this world not void, and he's going to keep the church not void. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somewhere in this world, he is going to keep his church established till he comes again. Then we'll no longer need the church. We'll no longer need this world. "And the light shineth in darkness." Let me do a little more defining for us. Make sure we're all on the same page. Do you know what the definition in the English language of darkness is? Absence of light. You say, duh, that makes a lot of sense. Darkness, or dark, means no light. Well, you want to know what the definition of light is? No darkness. You see, the darkness and the light cannot coexist. Do we need to see the power of God demonstrated any more, I'm going to call it, elementary to us, then just think about it? And you know, I saw darkness one time, and I was in junior high, and we went up to Longhorn Cavern on a trip. Folks, they carried us back in that cave. I don't know how far it is. They still get mad at me calling it a cave. That's a cavern. 2 plus 2, you know, whatever. They took us back there and everything. And they cut the lights off. That's darkness. That's darkness. And that darkness wasn't there till they cut that switch. And immediately, darkness filled that whole cavern room. All right? I, being the slow learner I am, decided I'd see if I could see my finger. And I put it right up here, and when it touched my nose, and I still could not see my finger. Folks, that's how I recognize, that's what taught me what true darkness is. Now, if we take that and spiritually apply that, look at the situation, if we don't have the light of life in us, think about it. We can hold up all we want in front of individuals that can't see it. The darkness is too dark. But as soon as that guy flipped that light switch again, where'd the darkness go? It's gone. It cannot coexist. Then I'll bet you there was a lot of people looking and wondering what this idiot's doing with his finger on his nose, you know? Because not only could I see my finger, they could see that I had put my finger up on my nose. You see, sometimes some of us need to really stop and consider and think and see the majesty and truth of the power of Almighty God. You want to know why it's that way? Because God created it that way. God made it that way. God made it that way. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You and I have the light of the Word placed in us if we are indeed the regenerated individuals that we, I'm sure, feel and know that we are. You know, I know many times I used to, as a child or a younger man, even a long time ago, I used to think people would say, "Are you saved?" Saved from what? "I'm saved from getting hungry. My wife fixed me a good breakfast this morning." "What salvation do you have under consideration? Are you saved to God?" If I am, Jesus Christ did it on the cross some 2,000 years ago. No. Have you accepted him? The key is he accepted me. He said that all the Father gave me shall come to me, and he who cometh, I will in no wise cast out. He accepted us. He came and died for those that were chosen in him, and this life is in his Son. Right? Thanks be unto God. He did that just like he did the darkness and the light. Even this natural darkness and natural light I gave you the example of. What a blessing you and I have. Not just that some sweet day we will live with him in that eternal place we call heaven. You know, I've kind of quit calling it heaven. People get it confused with that space up there. All right? That's not a space up there. That's called the throne room of God. That's where he resides. And I don't think he resides amongst the planets or the stars. He resides in a special place that you and I could not understand even if we knew more about it. All right? You know, the writers write the best they can to have us understand. They say the streets are paved with gold. I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe there'll be natural gold up there at all. But that is one of the most precious metals that mankind has. All right? And if the streets, that we walk on, is the best we've got here, and I don't know about you, but I wouldn't walk on any gold at all if I had some. Yeah. If that's the case, think how beautiful, how rich everything is up there. And in him was life. And the life is the light of men. We cannot see, we cannot hear the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, much less understand it without that light. Because the darkness is just like that. You just can't see it. So quit trying to get somebody to see something without the light. The light is what? Is the life that was in him. Is in him. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended. You know what that word comprehended? Didn't, it says it didn't eagerly take it. Right? Didn't eagerly accept it. People who are in darkness can't eagerly take anything that is spiritual. You know, when the one came to Jesus and Jesus said, "You must be born again." He said, "How can a man when he's old enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus said, now I'm not going to quote this exactly what Jesus said. Now I'm going to put it in my own words. All right? Jesus was saying, no, pay close attention to me. Understand, that is born of the flesh is flesh. You and I can tell by looking at you, we're born of the flesh. And you are flesh. That is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You see, we're being, and I have a little problem in my mind always understanding what many people say, the rebirth. No, I was born naturally one time. I'm not reborn again the second time naturally, spiritually. It's a totally different thing. The totally different thing. That's the reason the warfare is going on within us and all, is because we got a spiritual being inside of this tabernacle of clay. And and I don't take credit for this. Elder Tim Montgomery one time was preaching for us over in Lavergne, and he made a statement over there in Romans where it says, you know, that the spirit was made subject unwillingly. Man, I have to go read that. I can't even quote that right now. But anyway, he said, the reason is, he said, my spirit lives in this fleshly body. Now, if my fleshly body goes into the Blue Light Saloon or whatever it was over there, it's when he lived in Tennessee, if it goes in there and everything, he said, the spirit's got to go with me because it's in this body. But it's not willingly going. He said, trust me, that warfare is kicking up, all right? You know, we need to understand that we are to subject our bodies. Keep them under subjection. Keep them so that we walk even in the flesh according to what God has told us to do. Enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. What life? The good life while we live here on this earth. The good life. You know, my dad, he was a pretty good father. Sometimes, you know, he never whooped me, but what he didn't tell me, he loved me first. Sometimes I wished he didn't love me so much. But I'm telling you what, he said, I'm doing it because I love you and it's for your own good. I didn't understand that. Kiddos, you just know that discipline is needed, right? That's what teaches us, all right? God teaches us whenever he chastises us for not walking as we're supposed to, that he is disciplining us. And he's not disciplining us because he hates us. And he's not disciplining us to tell you, I'm fixing to send you to eternal hell. He's disciplining us because he loves us and he wants us to enjoy what he has for us here while we're still here. All right? And the darkness comprehended it or did not take it eagerly. Right? Not. And then they says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He has talked about the Word, the second listed in the Trinity in 1 John 5. He's the one that we call the only begotten Son of God. A little later on down here it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Lord. Amen. But God didn't stop there. He also, and by the way, this one was prophesied of by the same prophet Isaiah. This one says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, what did God send John for? He didn't send John to die on the cross. He didn't send John to come down and tell me, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, if you'll do the other, then I may send somebody that'll help you out and get you there. He sent John to what? Bear record. Bear witness. Remember my original reading over in 1 John, there's three that bear witness. John was one of those that God sent, and he sent John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Do we believe? Sometimes I believe, and I can I think, honestly say, without a doubt, I believe. Lord, I believe. But then, just as one recorded in Scripture also said, but help thou my unbelief. You know, sometimes I waver. Sometimes my weakness in the flesh is not so weak, but what it doesn't start to overcome my willingness in the Spirit. And I'm sure you all experience the same thing. This warfare, sometimes I lay my head down on the pillow at night and I start praying. And right now, because of all those that we know who stand in need of our prayers, you know, I think sometimes I go to sleep. I know I go to sleep before I ever get to amen. I probably go to sleep before I ever get to the last name that I'm thinking in my mind. But God knows my thoughts when they're far from me. So it's still, I think, doing what I should be doing. You know, the wonderful thing about our God, He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He could shut the lion's mouths, if He could let the Hebrew children not even have the smell of smoke on their garments, much less be killed from the fire, what could He save us from? There is nothing beyond His power. Will He? I don't know. You know, that's what the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and that really wasn't their name, but that's what they'd been given the names by that king by. But anyway, that's what they said. We know that our God is able. We don't know if He will, but we do know He's able. Right? That's what you and I need to hang on to today. We may not know if He will. I've got to drive Interstate 35 again. I'm going to have a long talk with my neighbors from Gerald over there. Why they didn't call me and tell me they could have brought me down here. But anyway, they didn't, so that's a different story. I certainly am not going to leave my car and ride back with them. But anyway, the thing about it is, I don't know. I didn't know they were coming. They probably didn't know I was coming. They may not have been in Gerald this morning either when I left. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether we know it or not. It's that we know that He is able to protect us when we hit that Interstate 35. He is able. Our prayer is, and, you know, there's a saying in Austin, pray for me, I drive 183. I don't drive 183 in Austin or anywhere else if I don't have to. But I will assure you, I do have to drive Interstate 35. And it took me 20 minutes to get from the bridge to the 71 cutoff this morning. Obviously, I don't need to tell you there was a wreck up there. All right? You know, we live in a dangerous world. We live in a time that I think because of our own neglect, God is not blessing us as He once did or as He has. But one thing about it, just as we read in the Old Testament, you know, the children of Israel would go off and get themselves, by not following His commandments, get themselves even in captivity. They were enslaved. But yet, when they turned from their wicked ways and prayed, God heard and He forgave them and He healed their land. Brethren and sisters, He's the same God today. We're not national Israelites. But if I know anything from the Scriptures, we are spiritual Israelites. That means we are still His people. And He is watching out for us, even when we're in captivity, we're out of the narrow path, even when we're in the broad one that leads to destruction, He watches over us and He hears our prayers. Thank you for your kind attention. thank you for loving such an unworthless one as I am, that I can come and be blessed to sing with you and worship with you while I live here in this world. And as good as this is for me, there's going to be a better time. And I know that. I know that. A better time. Thank you. Come ahead, brother.